And here we go. Welcome in to another exciting edition of Cabali and Mac. We want to be really excited. We want to be really happy for today's episode because we got lots of fun stuff to talk about. DK Metcalf is a Pittsburgh Steeler, ladies and gentlemen. And for the first time in a long time, my son and I were literally jumping around in our living room because we saw the news happen live on NFL Network. It was fantastic. We've obviously got to talk about who the hell's going to throw DK Metcalf the football. That is an ongoing saga that will continue to happen long after we're done with today's episode. Cabali has disappeared for a second behind his fake backdrop. Yeah, we'll get to all the fun stuff in just a second. Thanks, as always, to the Dan Heck team. HeckTeamHomes.com. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They're the people to take care of you. H-A-E-C-K. HeckTeamHomes.com. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, the entire crew, going to make sure you get exactly what you're looking for. Also helping the community with that Whitehall Fire Company raffling off a 2025 Ford F-150 STX to raise money for their fire hall. Tickets only $45 if you've driven by the Whitehall Fire Hall on Route 51 right by South Hills Country Club. You've seen that beautiful truck sitting out there in the driveway. It could be yours. Go to WhiteHallFire301.com. And thanks again to the Dan Heck team. But we got to start with some somber news, Kaboom. This is totally unexpected and out of left field. I did not know if he was having any health problems. I wasn't aware of them, but Craig Wolfley, Steelers color commentator on the radio side, long time Steelers analyst, was down on the sidelines for many years, and obviously a Steelers lineman at one point in the 1980s, has passed away at the age of just 66.
Yeah, smack in the teeth, right? Yeah. Apparently, this was a recent development over the last couple of weeks of at least getting diagnosed with it. So nobody, not a lot of people really knew. But, man, Wolf, I mean, we could have a whole show just on him. And
seriously,
the personality, the caring, the loving, the knowledge, just everything. I mean, there's days, I mean, going back years now, that I would always find myself, for some reason, I'd be very interested in watching the offensive linemen, either at camp or at practice. And you'd always walk over there and Tunch to the left, Wolf to the right. I'm like, Wolf, what do you think? What think of this guy? And he'd be like, Wolf would have his arm, his sleeves rolled up, like he's ready to jump in there, breaking it down.
Yeah.
What a unique individual. I mean, he's never had a bad conversation with him. I talked to him every single time he was at the Steelers, which he was there a couple times a week, just watching practice and the players too. The players, even current players, would come to him for advice. He's just a great, great guy, great human. Steelers are going to miss him. Everybody's going to miss him. Yeah. We're all going to miss him. And it's just sad. It's just a sad, sad event that you're not going to be able to go up there and say, hey, Wolf, man, you see that pizza they got today up there?
Brother, let me tell you.
He's just a great guy.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned how you would sort of gravitate to watching the offensive linemen. Like, I honestly think this is a real effect he and Tunch had on Steelers fans who grew up listening to both of them, whether it was the show they would do during the season, whether it was their analysis on the air. Like, they would talk about offensive line play in a way that made you want to, like, if you were in the car driving along listening to the game because you couldn't be somewhere to watch it, you would listen to them and be like, I got to go back and watch that play now. I got to see what's happening. Like, they would get physically excited to watch a pulling guard get downfield, right? And like, it was the way they got excited about offensive line play that I think made a lot of us, to be honest, better football fans. And it's not just for so many of us about the quarterback, wide receiver, splash plays, all that. It really is about focusing on the trenches and everything that goes on in there that can make a team successful or unsuccessful. And a lot of that goes back to those of us that grew up listening, really to watching Wolf, Tunch and Wolf, when they were still players, and then watching their transition into the booth and listening to them over the years, I think had a huge effect on Steeler fans.
They were just two friends talking ball. Like yeah. They were in the locker room. I mean, I could not tell you. I mean, it would be every single conversation would somehow end or start or have the name. Yeah, we were in the locker room one time and Chuck said this, and he'd tell this great story about Chuck Noll and the time where, you know, he was saying that I believe it was a story, if I got it correct, that he hurt himself, Wolf, and he told Tunch, hey, man, I'm not going out there. I'm telling Chuck, man, I'm too hurt. I'm not going out there. He said, Chuck walks in and says, you ready, Craig? Ready, Wolf? And Wolf says, yes, sir, let's go out there. Tunch is like, yeah, you're going to tell him. All right.
Yeah, yeah. They did. They bridged that generational gap between the Noll Steelers, because they both played for Chuck at the very end of his coaching career, all the way through the Cowher years to the Tomlin years, incredibly well. And you're right, the respect that everyone in the building had for them, but most importantly, the way they each treated everybody that they came in contact with every single day. You could, like you said, sidle up next to either one of them.
It didn't matter if you were a newbie around or a guy in your 30 years. Didn't matter.
Didn't matter if you hadn't been there in a couple seasons or a couple weeks or a couple months. You walk over and they first question was always, hey, how you doing? How's the family? How's everybody doing? You know, always. And, you know, I'm not an especially religious person. We joked last week about how both of us, you know, if we walk into the walls of a Catholic church, they may crumble down as soon as we walk in there and touch the holy water. It may boil and sizzle. But like the one thing that always led them was their faith. And it's why I think they were such good people. Deep down, they were just really good people that believed in helping others and being kind to others. And it's just sad that they're both gone now, especially at the young ages that we lost.
Just think, we lost three legendary Pittsburgh sports figures like that, and Tunch, Stan, and Wolf. And I mean, what do they all have in common? Great guys.
Yeah.
Guys to talk to, just down to earth human beings. And that's, if you learn anything from those guys, that will be it.
Yep. I learned it in spades. I think we both did from all three of those guys. You can be a decent human being in this business and still do all right for yourself. So that's the very sad news that came out literally like an hour before we jumped on here this morning. Again, back to the good, exciting news. And thanks, as always, again, to Southwest Greens for being a part of the show as well. You want to get your lawn taken care of because it's beautiful this week. And you're going to walk outside and your grass may look great. But more than likely, it took a beating during the winter and you don't feel like spending all the time and money and effort on maintaining it all spring and summer and fall long. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. They will install a beautiful apps. It'll be the best looking lawn in your neighborhood. You won't have to water it. You won't have to mow it. Yep. Artificial turf. And it looks fantastic. Looks like real grass, feels like real grass, maintains like real grass, except without all the mowing and watering. Even if you just want a small area of it, a little patch for the kids to play in around their play set or a little putting area if you're a golf junkie. Totally safe for pets, too. SouthwestGreensPA.com. We thank them for being a sponsor of Kabali and Mac as well. Go check them out. Tell Jake that Kabali and Mac sent you because they are filling up quickly for spots this spring. And
you know, another thing real quick, Mac, about Wolf before we move on.
Yeah.
Do you know... And I've asked him this before about Wolf, and our friend Relaxed Styles remind me of this today, but he went to high school with Lex Luger.
Oh my God, that's right.
Played ball with Lex Luger.
Imagine that offensive line.
Imagine that team, the whole Wolf team. But I remember asking him about him. He called him by his real name, and I can't remember what his name was.
Yeah.
Apparently he was a freak athlete too. So plus, I mean, he was in the strongman competition. I always wanted to do a story on that. And he told me, I asked him all about the strongman competition and how he had to wear a diaper one time because he was a sumo wrestler for part of this. And he funny jokes there about that. And he said he never even told Chuck that he was going. It was like a week before camp started.
Could you imagine that in this day and age?
Strongman.
Oh, my God. Larry Fole. I think Fole or Fall is how you pronounce Luger's.
Yeah, I think he just kept referring to him Larry.
Larry, that's hilarious. Coincidentally, Lex Luger going in the WWE Hall of Fame in a couple months. Look at that. Full circle.
Another legend.
Yeah, it looks like actually I saw a video. Did you see the video of Cody Rhodes walking in to announce to him that he's going to be going into the Hall of Fame? And like, he actually looks like he's working out with DD, doing the DDP yoga thing, was able to stand up out of his chair and everything.
I saw a couple weeks ago that Jacob Fatu helped put his wheelchair in the back of his car too, Lex. So it's good for them guys to recognize a legend and help him out.
Like, man, what a high school football team that must have been. Lex Luger.
Orchard Park. Orchard Park, right?
Good Lord. All right, so let's talk about what happened yesterday. I mentioned, like, I just happened to walk out to the garage in the driveway to take the trash out to the curb because it's garbage night. And I walked back in, had NFL Network on, because nothing else was on, really. Had NFL Network on. My son's sitting at the kitchen island while my wife was cleaning up dinner or doing something in the kitchen. And I walk in, and the first thing I see on the screen across the room is DK Metcalf to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I literally grab him by the shoulders, like, oh, my God, look at this. And he looks up at the screen, and being an 11-year-old who 90% of what he sees is fake stuff on YouTube, he looked at me. He's like, is that real? I was like, yeah, that's real, buddy. It's real. It's spectacular. So DK Metcalf is a Pittsburgh Steeler.
You just put a Seinfeld quote out.
You like that? It's spectacular. So before we get to the whole who's going to throw him the ball issue, let's start with this. Is this an addition to the wide receiver room, or is this a replacement for the other number 14 in the wide receiver room?
Well, you're not going to like this answer, but it's going to be to be determined.
Come on.
This is why I'm saying this, because the Steelers, I do believe, would love to have him back, have him play out his year and move on from there, have that dynamic duo, Metcalf, Pickens, and whoever their quarterback will be, throw him the ball. However, as we learned last year quite quickly, maybe – George doesn't want to be here anymore. Maybe he says, you're bringing this guy in here. I can see the writing on the wall. I want to trade. I mean, Deontay did something very similar to that as well. So I don't think that, obviously, that meeting has not happened yet. Right. But I think they're going to have to sit down and have a heart-to-heart conversation, if probably with more likely it's going to be with Mike, and say, hey, this is what we have in store here. We want you. And he might just, I mean, it might go before that. His agent might say, hey, I want to trade right now. I mean, it's just totally up in the air right now. But I don't think the plan is right now to move him. But if they have to, they will.
The plan has to be you're building up the wide receiver room by bringing in Metcalf and adding that to Pickens and giving whoever your quarterback is the ability to have multiple deep options, guys that can run routes all over the field in both instances. And most importantly, and I think I heard Orlovsky say this morning on ESPN, and it's a really great point because he's the one who's been bagging on the Steelers' run game so much over the last few weeks. It forces teams to play cover two, at least cover two, pulls the safety out of the box, and you're going to open up a ton of running lanes. Especially if this offensive line continues to slowly progress as it did, I think, over most of last season. So it improves your run game as well if you have both of these guys lined up in the same formation. My only question, Kaboom, is can an Arthur Smith offense make the most of having Metcalf and Pickens? Or is this going to be the same offense that a couple years ago forgot that Drake London and Kyle Pitts existed?
Well, what did they have in common there? They didn't have a quarterback, right? So I think a lot of it's going to depend on who the quarterback ends up being. But if you're having DK Metcalf, if you're bringing in, keeping George Pickens, you're tendering Jaylen Warren, you still got Pat Freiermuth under contract, you got Calvin Austin, Roman Wilson, you might draft one. All of a sudden, this does not look like 3 yards in a cloud of dust offense anymore, right? You are not giving a guy $30 million and have a guy the talented as George Pickens just to hand the ball off. So I think he's talented enough or smart enough, if allowed to, is to adjust to what they've done. It's not like he hasn't done that in Tennessee before as an offensive coordinator with a lot less quarterback and Ryan Tannehill. Of course, the running game had a little bit to do with that as well. So I don't have any problems with Arthur Smith adapting to what he has or what he eventually will have if he's permitted to do so.
Yeah, I think it's imperative he has to adapt to what he has. Because
I think he will. I think he's good enough to. I think he's smart enough too.
I mean, because we just mentioned Metcalf and Pickens. There's also all this talk about receivers all offseason, and it's fair because the receiver room needs to be upgraded. You've still got a tight end who you're committed to, who can be more than useful in the middle of the field. Could be really good. I think there's still a lot more ceiling for Freiermuth to
that cover two opens up the middle.
So absolutely. So we know Warren can catch the ball out of the backfield. We haven't even talked about the other wide receivers that may or may not be. I mean, Roman Wilson, you would hope, gets more involved. Who knows if there's an opportunity now to draft a wide receiver at a point where they can have an impact without a second round pick, but they have to open up this offense more regardless. I don't care if it's Sam Darnold, Russ, Fields, Rodgers, whoever it is, they have to open it up.
You have the highest played player on your team, you better treat him like it. You better use him like this.
That was the second part of this that, I'll be honest, didn't shock me because we knew the DK Metcalf deal was going to be tied to a new contract. But the fact that they, I don't know, I say easily because it seemed to happen so quickly, but 4 days ago, 5 days ago, whatever it was, DK Metcalf requested a trade. In four days, basically, Omar Khan of the Pittsburgh Steelers were able to work out the details of that trade, sending a second round pick and I guess what, maybe a seventh for a sixth or something. I don't know what the details are. The back end. Yeah.
They love to do that, swapping late round picks.
Yeah. That part isn't so important. Send a second round pick and, most importantly, agree to pay DK Metcalf. I don't know what the guarantee is. I know it's a big number, but agree to pay him $150 million over the next 5 years. Biggest non-Roethlisberger contract in team history.
Yeah, it's a four-year extension. He'll still play on that $18 million guarantee this year. I'm sure the signing bonus will be – that determines how much he's going to be counting against the cap. I mean, if he gets 20, 25, which seems like that would be doable, you're looking $23 million cap hit for a guy this year. And I think it's a great deal, and give him credit because, like I've said numerous times on here, I think they learned last year. You can't wait around. You can't give the other guys the options. Yeah. You go and make the trade, and you're like, we're paying you this. I mean, you don't have an opportunity to go and test free agency. So I think they learned a lot from last year, and you look at it now. In hindsight, I think I'd much rather have DK Metcalf than Brandon Ayuk last year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. DK Metcalf is – I tweeted it out last night. I saw a reel put together of a bunch of his downfield exploits, and I don't mean pass catching. I mean, like, just getting in fights and blocking. He hasn't played a snap in the AFC North yet. He might already be the most AFC North wide receiver in the AFC North, just based on how he loves to go downfield. He loves to block, loves to get into it with dudes. I mean, in particular, the one that stood out was when they played the Steelers 2 years ago, and he literally just grabbed Peasy Jr. by the shoulder pads and just joysticked him all over the secondary.
Yeah, I might sound a little creepy by saying this, but I'm interested in seeing the guy up close and personal.
He's a beast. What is he, 6'4", 235?
No, that's what Cordarrelle Patterson was last year, and he shocked me. I'm like, holy mackerel, look at the size of this guy for a running back. And I'm sure he's going to dwarf him.
He's 6'4", 235 with downfield speed. Plus, he
plays his butt off. He has 5 years of, 1,000-yard receiving yards every single – against, not a very good offensive line, not the best quarterback ever, and he's still able to produce at a consistent level, and he's a big play guy, and he can block. I mean, it's almost seemed too good to be true. I mean, that's why it's like, they're not going to do this. But for a second rounder, this is where Omar comes in,
Yeah.
Of course Mike Tomlin wanted him. Of course Mark Tomlin said, go get him. The scout saying, yeah, this is great. But now it's like, Omar, go get it done. And instead of original first and third or whatever, you're giving up a late second. Was 50-something overall
pick? 52, I think, yeah. 54
pretty, pretty like good that. Still for a 27-year-old. So that's where his worth is, his biggest worth, Omar, being able to get this done without overpaying to a degree where they're fleecing you. It's more or less, you look at it and say, oh, the Steelers got a good deal.
So I haven't checked George Pickens' Instagram yet to see how he's reacted to this, if at all. But how do you think he's going to take this?
I mean, that's tough. Me, I would call him in the office, get him on Zoom or whatever, and just print out a spreadsheet of T. Higgins and said, you see this? This could be you. He had 1 year to prove it. He proved it. He's now getting paid a ton of money. He's probably going to either get traded or signed here, even with the franchise tag. This could be you. Then I would grab Deontay Johnson and say, this is what happens when you want traded. Things don't tend to work out as well as you think it is. I mean, maybe his agent should be doing that. But
well, the instant, though, you make the comparison to T. Higgins, you know he's going to go, well, then pay me like T. Higgins.
Well, we'll say when your time comes, you will.
Now, okay, so that creates an interesting alignment with the quarterback position. And this actually works into that next point. And thanks again to all of our sponsors, including Impact HVAC. My furnace was busted up a week ago. Tony and the guys, Tony and Sunshine, his assistant, he called him, who's an apprentice. Tony and Sunshine popped on over here and fixed it up within a couple of hours. It was good to go. It was freezing cold last week, you may remember. On a cloudy day. Nah, we shouldn't sing. That's
terrible. It was more like Ronnie Bass.
Oh, yeah. He had a little Ronnie Bass look to him. Anyway, they did a great job fixing up the furnace. We'll have him back out here in another few weeks to tune up the AC before it gets hot out. You could do the same. Go to Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. Find them there. They are great for emergency calls. They're great for the tune-ups and the repairs that you may need, the maintenance that you need done. Impact HVAC. Thanks to everybody there for jumping on board with Kabali and Mac. But the point about paying Pickens down the line, if we get through 2025 peacefully and with some level of success, right, with Metcalf and Pickens working off of each other, regardless of who the quarterback is, it's going to lead you to a point where to afford both of those guys, you're going to have to be working with a quarterback under a rookie deal. Like in the next year or two, you need to figure that part out. Mm-hmm. And that leads you farther down the path of another year of a stopgap quarterback and away from the Darnold and Fields type options, I think.
I wouldn't even worry about that.
You're not worried about the quarterback? Or no, worried about salary concerns in 2 or 3 years?
I'm not worried about anything but 2025, and I think that's the approach they're taking by what they're doing. I mean, we'll deal with 2026 when 2026 gets here. If George is here, if George is not here, if the salaries cap's going up, you know, we'll deal with that when it goes. Let's put the best opportunity to win right now out there. But, I mean, that's what makes Aaron Rodgers so interesting, because you're tied to him maybe 1 year, right?
Yeah.
So you can then bring a quarterback in, draft a quarterback next year, or do whatever you need to do next year. But, I mean, I am just absolutely fascinated with the idea of having Freiermuth, Metcalf, Pickens, some of those other guys, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers still got the cannon, man. I don't care if he can't move. He got the cannon. He can get the ball out quickly.
Oh, I can't believe we're having a serious discussion about this. Hey,
what did I tweet on Friday?
I don't know. Stop patting yourself on the back.
I just said relax.
So,
you know what?
There is an interesting point to be made that I heard someone mention this morning, and I can't remember who said it, but it's a good point. you're going to need a quarterback. If you're going to have DK Metcalf and George Pickens in the same huddle or in the same locker room or the same meeting room, you're going to have a quarterback who can keep both egos in check in the middle of a practice, in the middle of a meeting, in the middle of a game, right?
Or one who has a bigger ego than both of them combined.
There you go. Somebody who can handle it by saying, I'm Aaron Rodgers. I'm the one in charge here. I'm the captain now, right? Like, it's a Somali pirate situation all of a sudden.
Terrible movie.
What's it called? Captain what? Captain Jack?
Captain Miller, Captain Wilson.
Oh, what is it?
Tom Hanks plays the same character in every single one of his movies. So.
He plays Tom Hanks. That's why everybody loves Tom Hanks movies. I mean,
Sully? No, that's Sully.
No, Sully's the pilot one. Damn it. Captain Phillips. Anyway. Aaron Rodgers can keep those egos in check in the middle of a huddle, in the middle of a drive, in the middle of a meeting room, in the middle.
I think it's his right arm.
What happens the first time Sam Darnold or Justin Fields is standing in the middle of the huddle and they both come jogging back to the huddle like, eyes open. And they're blowing up and it's like, guys, relax. I'm Aaron.
Relax.
I got it. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't think DK is that type of guy, do you?
I don't think to the same extent that George Pickens is. No, obviously.
You throw George Pickens the ball, he gets his opportunities, he's happy. Period.
So what happens the first time DK has a 10-target, 8-catch, 125-yard, 2-touchdown game, and George has 2 catches for 25 yards?
George leaves the locker room before it's open to the media.
Exactly.
Like he always does.
So I guess my point is there is a quarterback out there. There are two quarterbacks out there that I think can handle that. Rodgers would be probably the best at it, as much as I hate to admit it, and Russ to a lesser extent, because Russ has a connection with DK Metcalf, and he's also played with Pickens now.
I mean, I think Russ pretty much tipped his hand yesterday.
How so?
Russ did not make one mention on any social media platform of his former teammate joining the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He didn't?
No, that's very unlike Russell Wilson.
That is telling. He still hasn't put anything out?
Not that I saw. All I know is Justin Fields is hanging out in Dubai right now, which is
weird. I mean, I didn't realize that. That is very strange, especially their girls are besties, you know? Sierra and Normani are like,
we just look for goofy stuff when we're talking about that.
I don't think that's goofy at all. It's another connection between DK and Russ.
Well, DK didn't want to play in the cold weather.
Well, that was just look.
And he wanted to play with a established quarterback. Well, how about no quarterback and it's 8 degrees all the time?
I mean, it's all in direct correlation to the cost. If somebody's willing to pay me $30 million a year, I'll go play football on the North Pole, right? Like with an eighth grader quarterback, yeah. Right? I mean,
especially if you're 27, 28, long. You've learned that in your career, early in your career, in any career, you're like, oh, I'm just happy to have a chance. About year 10, 15, you're like, I don't care. Just pay me.
Yeah.
just pay me.
And I don't blame him for that. I don't blame anybody. It's why I don't blame Justin Fields if he'd rather go to the Jets and make $5 million more a year for the next 3 years.
I see a report out there that they sent Justin an offer a couple days ago, and he still hasn't really returned it. What has Justin Fields done to be able to control the narrative of all this stuff?
Bro, why does it have to hold on? You said this a couple
14
times.
Games. You won 14 games, right? In your career, and a third of those came last year. How are you have all this stroke here? I don't know if I'm quite happy of that. You know, maybe I don't want him back. What are you talking about? At least say yes, no, I don't know. But now you're saying, nah, I'm gonna go see what's best for me somewhere else.
You've said this a couple times, and it's a valid point. What has Justin Fields done to deserve all the pull and all the leverage in negotiations with the Steelers? It doesn't have to be anything Justin Fields has done, Mark. It's what the rest of the league has going on right now. If the rest of the the league, the rest of the, I should say the rest of the teams in the quarterback market believe that Justin Fields is the next best option behind Sam Darnold on the quarterback market, then he has the leverage. He's able to do that. And I don't blame him at all for doing that. Like, we agree. We don't care if the dude's just trying to get the bag, right? Go get the bag. I don't care. But if that means he's got to slow play the Steelers, then so be it. Like, then he slow plays the Steelers. And maybe it ends up that the Steelers say, okay, we can't sit around and wait for Justin anymore. We got to jump on a quarterback.
I would say the news of Aaron Rodgers being interested in Aaron Rodgers being publicly is to put pressure.
Yeah, it's very good timing.
Hey, get this done because we are not waiting around for you. And another thing, you've got DK Metcalf spending all this money on a playmaker, right? Omar Khan playmaker. Mm-hmm. And you got other playmakers. Who says it? I mean, what would make Justin Fields make those guys better? I mean, what has he shown? What? He can throw the ball down the field, throw the ball across the middle. Now, he presents a unique issue for defenses and his legs and stuff like that. But if you're bringing in these monster receivers and want to really push the ball downfield, Justin Fields is not your guy.
Well, yeah, and I think Barnwell and Brooke tweeted out the passage from Bill Barnwell's piece early this morning from ESPN.com.
What does that mean? You'd have to let me know.
I'll just read it directly from Barnwell's piece. Most of the chatter around the Pittsburgh job has suggested Justin Fields is the favorite to re-up as the starter, but that would be a much more curious fit given the receiving threats here. Fields posted a 57.4 QBR on those deep balls, going 6 of 21 for 206 yards. Wilson posted a plus 19.4% completion percentage over expectation. It's all a long way of saying Russ is better at the deep ball down the sidelines and the back shoulders than Fields is, which I think we saw throughout the course of the season is true. Plus, you add in the fact that that Wilson has this chemistry with Metcalf previously. I think if you're really just choosing between those two, it comes back to Wilson. And you say, okay, Justin, fine. Go to New York. Play for the Jets for a few years. Let us know how that works out. But then if you're willing to look outside the box of the two guys that you had last year, then it does open the door to Rodgers, maybe, who still can shoot lightning bolts out of his arse sometimes. Or the thought is Darnold in play? I don't think they'd pay Darnold what Darnold wants or what the market will dictate, but Darnold was very good with obviously very good weapons last year, but at those same kind of throws, working the ball deep down the field.
You know, I'm just looking at Aaron Rodgers' stats over the last five games last year. We're looking 339 yards passing, 289, 256, 274, 1-3-1-4 touchdowns. Now, he had a stinker against Buffalo in between that, but everybody's had stinkers against Buffalo. So what I'm saying is the guy still – he doesn't seem to me as a guy that's lost, you know. He's still – I keep saying he still has the arm talent to be a very good quarterback in this league. Now, obviously, he's not a long-term answer. But if you're going out there and say, I need to win right now, which is everything suggests that's their plan, then why don't you make the play on a guy who's, you know, been there, done that, four-time MVP, Super Bowl winner, still can play, still has the arm?
I just think it's going to look very reminiscent of Ben's final year and a half. Like, mobility was limited. It was chuck and duck and say a prayer and hope. And look, maybe it doesn't. Maybe Rodgers still has the ability to get the ball downfield like Ben didn't in his last year and a half, to your point. But I got a feeling it's going to look very, very similar.
I see. At this point, I would take Ben. I mean, that
last he's year, interested. He put it out there.
That last year, Ben.
But
that last year, Ben was not bad. Last year, fourth quarter, Ben was spectacular. Well,
yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, Rodgers is still, and Russ to a lesser extent, the kind of guys that at this age, like Ben in his final year or two, who can still shoot lightning out of their ass occasionally and win games because They're just that dude. But increasingly, they're not that dude. And in the moments where they're not, they're really bad.
Yeah, it's 1 year. It's 1 year. Take a shot. Isn't this what we've been complaining about for years and years and years? You know, the murky middle, playing it safe. Just go for it. If it doesn't work out, they've proved that they don't give a crap and they change your wide receiver, I mean, quarterback room every single year. I think we've learned that by now. If they do bring Rodgers in, we'll be what, six starters over the past 3 years or whatever the number is. Do it again. Do it again. I don't care. They're trying to win now, and we complain when they don't try to win now, and we complain when they do try to win now.
So. Oh, I don't have a problem with having a plan and going for it. If the plan in place actually, like, is this team right now, and look, there's still a lot in flux. Like, as it looks right now, Jaylen Warren's back. They put the second-round tender on him. Najee's probably gone. We don't know about the defensive side of the ball. Sounds like they're going to be players in the cornerback market. So that, you know, we'll see how the draft shakes out, obviously. But is this team right now, is currently constituted, adding DK Metcalf, if they go out and add Aaron Rodgers, are they better than 10-7 in a wild card loss?
I mean, that's impossible to say right now. Let's see how.
I don't know if it is. Like, I think the ceiling for that team, as fun as it is with Aaron Rodgers at the sideshow that he is, and DK Metcalf and as talented as he is, like, that's still a max 11 win, maybe a single playoff win. If I said maybe at max 11 wins in a playoff victory. That's not a Super Bowl team still.
This is a team that was 10-3 at one point last year until they crapped the bed, right?
Right.
Now you would think that the guys that they've added or going to add will make them better, not worse. I mean, you're losing Dan Moore, you're losing James Daniels. Whoever you might lose is not going to be much different than what you had. You're losing Russell Wilson, right? You're adding the guy, Metcalf, you're adding a guy like potentially – Rodgers, maybe you don't have an 0-5 crap the bed down the stretch there, and you do get a division home game or win the division, have a home game, and then things change. I record-wise, to me, just get in, have a chance to win the division, have a home game, and if they won 10 games last year and the 10 games a year before that with Mason Rudolph and Russ Wilson, Justin Fields, I don't see how adding more talent and Aaron Rodgers, so to speak, wouldn't make that all of a sudden just stay status quo.
Oh, no, that's exactly my point. Is it status quo? Like, you can add DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers. I still think it's a 10-win team. Like I said, max 11, who probably loses their first playoff game. Maybe wins one. And to your point, maybe they steal the division. Maybe it's a down year for the Ravens and the Bengals don't show up for the first 2 months again, and you win the division at 11-6 and you get a home playoff game and
first round,
right? Josh Allen gets hurt and all of a sudden you look up and you're in the AFC championship game, right? It's possible.
Put yourself in position to win and worry about that. Then
monkeys might fly out of my ass too. Like, it's a possibility. It's not very probable. So like, when we talk about going all in, okay, I get this. I get it. This is as all in as you can go right now based on what's available.
You have your choice. Justin for this year, Justin Fields, Sam Darnold, Aaron Rodgers. Who gives you the best chance this year to have a chance to win a playoff game, win two playoff games, win the division?
Probably Darnold.
Really?
Yeah. If you've got Metcalf and Pickens in place, yeah.
But. I think that ship has sailed.
I think so too. I think Darnold's headed to Seattle.
Million.
Yeah.
But Sam Darnold's going to look around in Seattle and say, who am I throwing the ball to? You got rid of my entire team, Jackson Smith and Jigba.
And that's it. Yeah. I mean, but that seems to be so. Let's talk about all the quarterbacks again. I want a Kabali meter percentage chance on each quarterback being the Steelers starter. Week 1, 2025. Sam Darnold.
13%.
Okay. Justin Fields.
Maybe 40. I think if he would have wanted to come back, he would have been back already.
Okay. Russell Wilson.
I think he knows. I think the Steelers know. That's just a personal opinion, not anything that I know.
You think they both know that he's not coming back and he's over in Dubai just waiting to officially announce at noon?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's what it is. I think that's exactly what's going to happen here.
But you still give him a 40% chance?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why you failed algebra three times.
Well, maybe not 40 because I got 40 and 13. That makes 53.
Right.
Maybe I'll make it a 30% chance. I think that's why he's probably not getting back to him. I mean, I just think he has his mind set up and it's already been made. All right. Just need to keep their other options open. What your other options are,
Russ and Rodgers.
I mean, Darnold, he had 12 games.
Look, I'm not here to argue with the guy's track records.
I mean, if he was 1 year for $20 million, sure. But if I'm paying this guy $120 million or whatever over 3 years.
Yeah, he better be a damn sight better than Sam Darnold. Yeah. I get it. Okay, so Darnold 13%. You said Fields 30%. Russ, what percentage chance to be the Steelers starting quarterback week one, 2025 on the kaboom meter?
Based on the social media stuff, I think it's very unlikely.
I need a number. Come on.
Less than who was the least one I had?
You had Darnold at 13%.
6%?
6%. Okay. And what about Rodgers?
Whatever's left. What are we looking? 48, 50?
Hold on. 43 plus 6 is 40. 51. Wow. Look at you. Didn't even mean to do that. And you pulled that off.
51%. It's all right here, brother. There's little. I better watch what I say here about, you know, like math stuff coming out of your head. Like, what's that meme?
Well, the one of you talk about The Hangover, Zach Galifianakis. Floating in front of his face.
Next thing you know, old relaxed Styles will like tweet something to me with all these numbers above my head.
Yeah, he's good at
that. He got you good last night, didn't he?
He did. Me yelling about Shinsuke Nakamura. Okay, so real quick, I want to talk about this too. If it ends up being Rodgers or for whatever sake, it's Rodgers, Fields, or Russ. That's a quarterback that you're not necessarily tied to long term, right? Yeah. So still, how likely that they're looking at quarterbacks in the draft, especially with the second round pick off the board?
I don't think. At this point, you just wait.
You're essentially kicking the can farther down the road by saying you're going to have a stopgap quarterback next year as well. They're not drafting whatever happens this year. They're not going 5-12 and drafting top 10 next year. And even if they did, they're not taking a rookie quarterback, Arch Manning or Drew Aller, all the names that people throw out there. They're not taking that quarterback and then starting him day one as a rookie. So you're going to have somebody for next year as well.
Okay, that's fine with me. I mean, take your chance when you got your chance. I think this gives you the best opportunity. The draft class of quarterbacks is supposed to be better next year. We'll see. But, I mean, at this point, if you're giving DK Metcalf $150 million, what precludes him, Omar, of saying, okay, I'm going to give you this pick, I'm moving up into the top 7 next year?
But again,
why not?
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Omar does business differently than anybody else before him has done business at 3400 South Water Street. I'm not going to argue that point, especially after last night. But that would still mean they're drafting a rookie quarterback in that spot, and I don't think they're starting a rookie quarterback straight out of the gate.
Well, I mean, fine. I mean, you bring somebody in. Well, they didn't start Kenny Pickett until 4 games in. I know that didn't work out quite well, but
no.
It's a different ball game. You can't sit there and do Jordan Love and Pat Mahomes very often.
No, but I think depending on who the player is, like, you know, like if, for example, they look up in the 3rd round and Jalen Milroe is still there. I'm not a huge Jalen Milroe fan, but they might look at it and go, this is 5th round?
No, I'm talking about tiny hands.
Oh, okay. So, like, I would if they looked at it and went, okay, well, we'll draft this guy and let him sit for a year behind Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or whoever. Like that makes a lot more sense in my opinion than drafting than essentially just kicking the can down the road another year. But maybe it's just maybe they're just in the Kabali mindset that you mentioned earlier of F it, it's 1 year at a time.
Yeah. Worst comes to worst, bring him back for another year or go find another veteran for another year. I mean, everybody's looking for that long-term answer. Maybe they're just going to just keep going with veteran after veteran until they find their long-term guy. I mean, maybe they cracked the code. It hasn't worked yet, but
no, it hasn't. That, talk about breaking eggs to make an omelet. I mean, they this have
was, honestly,
and these eggs are expensive. I don't know if you've been to Aldi lately, Kaboom. These eggs ain't cheap.
Yeah, I should have went with those chickens, right?
Yeah. Are you going to get the chicken or what?
No. It's going to cost more to graze the chickens than just go and buy eggs. Fine. Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Who fertilizes the eggs? Do I need a rooster too?
I have no idea.
How does that work?
I have an aunt that lives on a bayou in Louisiana who could answer these questions. They get so many eggs, they literally take them to a farmer's market every weekend and sell them.
Oh. You know, apparently that you don't have to refrigerate eggs if you don't like wash them.
Correct. They don't refrigerate theirs. They just sit on the counter until they're ready, and then
you refrigerate your ketchup.
Yeah, you refrigerate your ketchup. You don't have to.
Some people don't. I always refrigerate my ketchup.
What about butter?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
No, there's some people. Our buddy Timmy Santoro will leave the butter sit out on the counter.
Well, Timmy's
right. That way it's always soft. So whenever you don't do that thing where you got a hard chunk pad of butter, it's half frozen, and you're smashing your toast up.
I eat the fake stuff, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, that's fair.
You leave it out for 10 minutes and it turns into mush.
It just turns into yellow water.
I don't believe in ketchup.
So you
all the condiments go enough.
You don't think there's any chance they're drafting a quarterback this year, even late?
Only way they get late, only way is if they get back into the – if they move Pickens and get a pick, maybe, you know, a second rounder and say a fifth rounder or something.
But you don't. Yeah, I was going to say, you don't even think like a lottery ticket on one of these quarterbacks, Will Levis without mayonnaise types that I keep talking about, like Shuck or McCord or Howard in like the fifth or sixth round.
Who's
the backup then? Skylar Thompson.
Yeah, let's hope not. There's a ton of average quarterbacks out there. So
I am here for a quarterback room of Aaron Rodgers, Jameis Winston, and Skylar Thompson. Give it to me.
Jameis would be
unlimited content.
He would be an interesting character. I mean, Joe Flacco, throw him in there.
Flacco.
I don't know. Ryan Sudovich says Mason. I'm sorry, Ryan, but I think Mason.
I don't think Mason
would be interesting.
I don't think Mason has a lot of interest in coming back. You mentioned the comments, so let's take a spin through the comments. And Tanvir hit us with like six comments right off the top asking about Rodgers. Do you think we'll know about quarterback? Let me pivot back to this. Do you think we'll know about it by the end of the day? Like, there's a good chance people are listening to this right now as a podcast or watching it later this afternoon, and they already know the answer?
No, I don't think so, because I would say if Justin does sign with the Jets, I don't think there would be – the only thing that would do is take him off the table. I don't think there would be a corresponding move if we signed Aaron Rodgers today, no.
You don't think they'd – But you might know.
You might know that Justin's not coming here, but you might not know who their quarterback is.
Well, but you made a really good point earlier, and I think it's important to note. Like, this is a race, I think, at noon, like to officially get your quarterbacks locked in, and you do not want to fall in line behind the Jets or the Giants. Like, you want to be the team that dictates. You want to knock over the first domino, in effect, right, and let everyone else fall in place behind you, so that you get what you want, which would lead me to believe that as soon as the field stuff becomes official, which, again, it may become official by the time we're even done talking, because it's 11:33 a.m. right now.
It's possible. I mean, think about it. Think about it now. This is a guy who goes, I want to go see what my best options are out there. I want to see what the Jets have to tell me. By the way, I'm in Dubai.
By the way.
Tells me those conversations might have been had already.
That's a good point. But that's why I think you need to race then to figure it out. Like, that's where I think Rodgers as the backup plan, or Russ, one of the two.
You got to have multiple backup plans, because you don't want to be Brandon Ayuk sitting there and like,
right.
Yeah, he goes here, he goes here. What am I going to do? Jameis? I mean, they better say, if you tell us no by 2 o'clock, we're moving to this guy instantly.
I wouldn't even wait till 2 o'clock, man. Like, if they really know that Justin Fields is just sitting over in Dubai, where I don't know what, it's like midnight now, isn't it? I have no idea. He's asleep. Like, he's not sitting around. He's already signed whatever he's going to sign, and he's just waiting for his agent to submit it then. And the decision.
7:30 in Dubai.
7:30. That's it?
Wow, so 7:33 p.m.
Okay. I believe you. I trust the Google machine.
You've been to Dubai? I've
never. No. Haven't been to Dubai. Never been anywhere outside of North America or the Caribbean.
Western Pennsylvania.
I've never been anywhere other than North Belvern or Ross Baldwin.
Baldwin, Whitehall, if I get really, really.
Hey, I ain't crossing 51 for any, just any.
Oh, you hear about that? Ooh, big stink in town.
What?
3 years worth of.
You saw the announcement, the construction on 51. Yeah. I know lots of people who watch and listen to the show don't live in Pittsburgh anymore. But if you do, especially if you live in the South Hills or the Mon Valley, just don't drive on 51 for the next 3 years.
Yeah,
it's going to be a disaster.
Don't take the shortcut past our house either. Go other way.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's going to be a mess from like the Bill Green Shopping Center, the Cloverleaf with Curry Hollow Road, all the way out.
3 years.
Three years. Anyway, this is actually a really good point that I think is worth bringing up. Shots 32 on
Shits.
YouTube. It's not shits. It's quite clearly an A.
It's past tense. He took a shats.
I had Mexican last night. I got shats 32 on YouTube. Pickens, Freiermuth, Metcalf, get a stud running back to eat while teams play too high. We become contenders overnight. So what's the plan in the running back market? Because we talked about this last week and we both kind of agreed there's not much out there. It's keep Warren and wait for the draft, right?
Boy, it doesn't take much to get the Steeler fans back on board, huh?
I love
First
it.
Team in the league, tanking. You signed Metcalf, and there's a thought about Aaron Rodgers coming, and we're going to win it all. That's why I say, just be patient.
We don't have time for patience, Kabali.
Let's wait until see this whole plays out. Wait till you see, you know, Omar pull off something else today of a corner or a defensive line, and it's going to, I mean, the interwebs are going to, that's why Twitter went down before, or X. People were going, what a day for X to go down, huh?
I know. We almost didn't get on the air today.
Probably going crazy when that was down for a couple times.
Is this true? Did you see what Josh said on YouTube earlier? George Pickens posted a picture of himself in his number one Georgia jersey. I thought it was insinuating he's going back to number one. Wow. Will they let Pickens go back to wear number one? This team doesn't let anybody wear number one.
They don't wear one. They haven't worn one in 35 years. And I've said this a million times, but people don't seem to understand is the Steelers do not give out the number one because they don't feel, you're talking about back to old school, that anybody is considered number one on the team. Take it for what it's worth. That's what it is.
That is the most ridiculous. That is like, oh my God. That is angry, drunk uncle, assistant offensive line, assistant high school offensive line coach mentality. Ain't nobody going to wear number one. Ain't no number one in team.
Well, that was a mute point recently until they, what was that? When did they allow them? That's probably been 20 years now.
Yeah, about like 10 or 15 since they opened up the number restrictions.
Santonio was 10. I thought that was the first year.
No, they opened up the receiver numbers, you're right, a while ago, but then they really opened up like the linebacker numbers and all that kind of stuff like 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, the single dump, the single digit ones just came, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like anybody could really have wear that other than a kicker or a punter. Or a...
I just thought they were doing it out of a deep abiding love and respect for Gary Anderson.
Well, there's somebody, I'm trying to figure out who it was before him.
Before Gary Anderson?
I might have it. Oh, my.
Oh, no idea. Who the kicker was or who number one was? Oh, I don't think anybody ever had number one aside from Gary Anderson.
Yeah, it was. It was Anthony Wright, 1989.
Oh, geez.
Anthony Wright had it for 1 year. Gary Anderson had it for 82 to 94. Dave Trout, I can't read this. Marilyn Condit, Warren Heller.
Watching you get super close to the screen in order to read things.
Really time. And there's the first guy, 1935. They don't even know his first name, so they just put Zaher. They don't even know his first name.
All right. Free agency opens unofficially in 22 minutes. Defensive line. You called the Jonathan Allen thing, even though Ben in D.C. got very mad at you.
I think Ben misunderstood what we were saying there.
Yeah, he did.
I was saying that he was a good fit for the Steelers. I wasn't saying he was getting cut. Like, I have any clue what they're doing in Washington.
No, Ben,
I
mean, Standing, was out. Ben Standing is the king of the mock drafts. We can't argue that, right?
Apparently he was top 10 like 5 years in a row or something.
Yes. So do they make a move on defensive line today?
I don't think so. I see they just released Grady Jarrett, which is interesting. Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit.
Arthur connection, maybe?
Potentially, but I mean, I would love to have Jonathan Allen. I've been saying it for 2 weeks now, but something tells me he's going to be a hot commodity out there.
So do they pivot to quarterback then? And maybe it's our DJ Reed or Byron Murphy or Asante Samuel style.
That's going to be somebody. So who would the big hit be? The big hit was DK, right? You got to get the quarterback. But there's going to be somebody else in there. And who's the only guy that makes sense would be a cornerback. I mean, can we consider Mike Hilton a big swing?
No.
Even though his market value is at 12, maybe, which is, seems crazy to me. But
what? Mike Hilton's is? According to SpotTrack, right?
Yeah.
There's no way Mike Hilton, God love him, great guy, great nickel corner with a nose for the ball. But at this point in his life, $12 million a year, no thanks. No. Maybe like a third of that.
Some breaking news. Not what you want to hear, but there's no 30 draft visitors today. They're taking today off of visitors.
Yeah, because they're too busy putting their roster together.
Sometimes they just come in and let the scouts or the positional coaches do that, but they only have had three guys in so far, which is kind of light. But no visitors on Friday, no visitors today.
Yeah, because they're going to have DK Metcalf coming in today, I'm sure, to get everything done, maybe. And then they're going to figure out a quarterback.
I should check my email. It's like, yeah, we will introduce DK Metcalf.
Yeah, you should be on top
of it. An hour and a half.
That's your job, after all.
Yeah, see, the Steelers didn't even announce it yet, right?
Yeah, they did. They tweeted something out last night, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
Good job by you.
I got stuff to do.
Yeah, you were a big TV star last night. I saw
TV star. Malzy.
Looks like Twitter's back to breaking. I don't know. If you guys
are watching. Are we on or not?
We're on. People are watching, but I can't get
to say retry.
I can't get anything to reload. It's a busy, busy day. We should do this. If anything else major happens today, we should do this again tomorrow. Forget wait until Wednesday.
How about that? What do you call that? What was I telling you earlier? Emergency podcast?
You wanted to do an emergency pod last night, which you didn't text me until I was laying in bed at like 11.
Because I wasn't thinking about it until.
Good. Yeah. No, we didn't need an emergency pod. We just needed to let things shake out overnight. And now we got the bonus of maybe some Aaron Rodgers news as well. So we'll see where that goes, because free agency officially opens in 18 minutes. Let's let the people go eat their lunch, Kaboom. We'll go keep up on all the news. And then, again, if any news breaks today, we'll do it again tomorrow. Does that sound good?
Sounds It's like a plan.
All right. You know what? You'd have stuff set up for lunch if you just have that chicken right now. Yeah, rip that thing up, throw it in the air fryer.
You have to clean that sucker and
defeather it.
Feather it and all that crap. Yeah. I'll just go to Sam's Club and get one for $4.99.
That sounds delicious right now. Rotisserie chicken for everybody and lots of them for DK Metcalf. We'll do it again tomorrow, most likely, because I'm sure something's going to happen soon. Thanks for joining us here at Cabali and Mac. Thanks to the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com.